That was weird. That caused confusion. Oh, precious boy.
Ah, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Office Hours. We're a little bit late this week. I got a bit of a scheduling snafu. The interview that I did with Todd Lewis was in the slot that I had earmarked for Office Hours. I'd kind of double booked myself, so that's why there was no Office Hours yesterday. And then on Tuesday, I'm trying to remember what happened now. Oh, yes. I had the special Fuentes review to come out. So that's what happened there. Truth be told, friends, feeling pretty tired at the moment. Maybe it's the turn in the weather. Maybe it's something else. But kind of like, I don't really feel like talking about the news today, which is why I've called the stream the Goblin Raid. The Goblin Raid! Because, let me tell you a little YouTuber insider trick here, okay? If you want something to be opened up to the riffraff, who are the riffraff? Casual viewers, fly-by traffic, kind of, you know, people who are clicking for the for a bit of thumbnail bait or something, then the way to do it is to, you know, make sure it has a relevant hook on a current news cycle with big personalities in it. You stick that in there, and you know, they're like flies on shit. But if you only want to talk to your core audience, which is you lot in here, keep the riffraff out. You call the stream something esoteric like the Goblin Raid, which is an inside joke that only us know about. So anyway, truth be told, I've been flat out the past couple of months. I've had two books come out, or coming out. There's the Applied Elite Theory, and there's the Foundations of Shakespeare, which is not out yet, but it's coming out soon. It's going to looks like a really amazing production, that book. The publishers there, Academic Imprint, have really gone to town on that. It's like they've done bespoke illustrations, and it's going to be like a prestige hardback. Can't wait to actually see a physical copy, but the proofs look incredible. And with that, I had to do four outside interviews promoting Applied Elite Theory. I did Peter McCormack. I did The Backlash. I did the one in London with Harrison Pitt, which isn't out yet. And I did another one. What was the other outside appearance I did? But anyway, yeah, so that was all pretty busy. And then, you know, I'm kind of an artiste, friend. I'm like an artiste, okay? And when I get excited about something, there's a surge of creative energy, like a kind of surge in creativity, and I must do it. Almost kind of like I work on impetus a lot, and the surge, you know, I've had two surges at once. One is my interest in kind of Marxism and left-wing ideas at the moment. I say left-wing ideas, a kind of economic, non-free market stuff, and Stalin and stuff like that. So that's been one kind of surge. And then at the same time, I've been very excited by the Fuentes, Nick Tucker stuff versus Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro and that whole development. And amazingly, the two things, because I control the universe with my mind, which I've always joked about, but is actually true, I don't know, I'm a mage of some power, wizard of some power, okay? But because that is the case, these things are now converging, okay? Because my, you know, sensible centre-left and all that, now the big news today is Fuentes is talking about a left-right alliance against the Zios. Tucker Carlson has been talking to Anna Kasparian. Left-wing channels I'm following have been talking about doing this alliance. And, you know, pretty incredible. But what happens in that creative cycle is that there's a massive bursting forth of energy. And This month, I've made 26 videos, which is probably double the amount of videos I usually make because I was doubling up on certain days. And before that, I did the Nima Parvini versus Right Wing Ideas series, which took a lot of energy as well as Stalin stuff and so on. And, you know, when I'm on it, when I'm in that zone, I am basically just kind of a force of nature. But usually what happens is something will check, like I will kind of run out of energy at some point. And when you start feeling that, you then start feeling kind of exhausted. And it just turns out that next week I have next week off. So there's not going to be any uploads in 1 week. And it's going to be a great test for me to not do anything in that. Because usually what happens is I get one of these burnouts. Something comes up like a holiday or something. In this case, the missus is going away for a week. Triple A has to go to school. And I was like, well, it's just, rather than try to organize someone to help or babysitting or whatever, I'll just take the week off. You know, why not? I very rarely take time off. But it's usually what happens in those scenarios is that I then start getting antsy and restless. My internal kind of, Protestant spirit, you could say, the spirit of Carlyle comes out. You haven't done anything productive today. You haven't done anything whatsoever today. Shift it. Come on, move it. And I've constantly got that voice in my head saying, come on, you have to do something. Come on. What would Carlyle say? Get on it. Shake a leg, as my grandmother used to say. Come on, shake a leg, shake a leg. And I'm going to try for the first time in years, not to do that, not to give in, to just be like, no, I'm stubbornly going to do sweet FA for the week, apart from make meals for AAA and pick her up from school. And then I'm literally going to do absolutely nothing for a week. Will I be able to make it? You'll be able to figure out if I can make it by if I upload. If I make a video in the next week, you know I'll have given in. If I don't, if my feed is silent for the whole week, you'll know, oh, AA has finally found his inner peace. He's found his inner zen. If you see an upload, it'll be like AA has given in to his inner Protestant work ethic. So there we go. I'm not a Protestant, obviously, but I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of culturally Protestant, is that? I mean, I went to a Catholic school when I was younger, but I don't know. I'm very worky person. Always have been. And I'm going to try to learn to enjoy leisure time. I always remember reading in Austrian Econ, there was the idea that labor has disutility because people have a need for leisure time. But I also discovered, like buried in there, that there is also a leisure a diminishing returns of leisure time that means people actually need to feel the need to work again. I certainly feel that. So let's see if I'm able to just do nothing for a week. Anyway, pick up a course at the academic agency. Promo code. There is no promo code. There is no sale on at the moment. There won't be a sale until January. But let me play an advert. Why don't we play the economics one for old times' sake? And when I come back, we'll do the super thanks and super chats.
Are you sick of hearing about Marx and Keynes? Do you want to know why neoclassical economics is so flawed? Have you ever wondered how to work out the marginal productivity of a burger bun? Do you want to level up your econ knowledge? Buy it now. £350. Foundations of Economics. Foundations of Economics.
I'm here.
Foundations of Economics. Get it now.
All right, yes. And then I'm considering, I've been exploring other schools of economics recently, like, because I've been looking at Marxism, but then, you know, the kind of rational part of my brain kicks in and I'm like, well, yeah, but this is an objective description of a material process that goes on. So how do you actually, so one of the things I've been trying to do this week, and I haven't been able to because of my malaise that comes at the end of one of these creative cycles, I'm a bit burnt out. So I haven't been able to pull the energy to actually make the video. You know, sometimes I've got limitless energy and I'm restless and I just cannot be stopped. Other times I can't, honestly, it's like if you were prodding me with a stick and I'm like, I can't do anything, just can't do anything. And today I was like, right, I'm going to make a pile of videos today. I'll stick them out next week while I'm away. I haven't been able to do it because I'm just can't be bothered. In fact, I ended up itemizing a list of Carlyle essays. And then I was like, I can't be, I'm just, that's as far as I got. But anyway, one of the things I was looking at was the how to price a cup of coffee. Okay, I've got an ancient video somewhere buried in the archives called Pricing a Cup of Coffee from about 2017, 18, something like that, where I priced a cup of coffee in the Austrian manner, which is not as straightforward as it sounds, because the Austrians always consider the temporal aspect of economics, that is the movement through time. And they argue that the wages paid to workers are not exploitative because the worker gets paid now, whereas the entrepreneur has to wait for return on investment. And they also don't consider cost as a real category because cost is always foregone. So that the Austrian way of coming up with pricing is very interesting indeed. But once you understand it, it's intuitive and it makes a lot of sense. The other economic schools, the Chicago School, the Keynesians or the post-Keynesians now, and the Marxists, all have different ways of answering this question. The trouble I've got is that because I understand the Austrian one so well, I can't, like, I want to give the other schools an honest appraisal, but there are things I just don't understand. Like in the Marxist way of doing it, for example, they have social necessary labor time and then surplus value. But then they say, yeah, but ultimately it's supply and demand. I'm like, well, how can it be? But like, it can't, if it's supply and demand, it's supply and demand. It can't be socially necessary labor time. Oh, but yeah, when he says value, he's talking about value. When he says price, he means price. All right then, but what's the surplus value bit? So that this is something I'm still struggling with. And then I need to watch more Paul Cockshott to see if I can really get my head around it. Then there's the Keynesian one, which is simply cost, whatever the costs are, and then the markup. They just go cost, markup. And they're like, all this Austrian stuff is bumf. We actually went out and talked to a pile of pricing managers working for major firms and said, how do you come up with your pricing? Is there any of this kind of present costs and present value and future value and, you know, subjective preferences and all of that? Or do you just do cost markup? And they all said, yeah, we do cost markup. And so the post-Keynesians, who are super empirical, say, well, it's cost markup. All the managers say it's cost markup, it's cost markup. And then the Chicago school, as far as I understand it, kind of agree with the Austrians, but then they go ahead and say, well, yeah, there is this thing called cost, though. And they've just got a box called cost. So, yeah, maybe I'll make that video. Maybe I won't. Anyway. Let us have a look then. Let's have a look. Rob says AA used to have some really good schizos following him on Twitter, but they seem to have left. Or they were banned. I lose patience with people. Let's have a look at some super thanks then at the moment. Okay, so from last week's office hours, simply Jeffrey Stevens has given £5 to say thanks. Well, Jeffrey Stevens, that may be the best super thanks ever sent. Those of you who lived through the dark days of Studio Rayner will know one just saying thanks is way better than the essays I used to get sent by him. Anders Brown says on the same video, last week's Office Hours, the Anglican Church appears to be going through a very serious global schism over the Church's decision to embrace various liberal progressive causes. What is your elite theory take on the matter, as this seems to be a reasonably powerful and cheap source of soft power in the world that the UK crown is just throwing away? Interesting. I mean, I see the Anglican Church and the Church of England as simply being a function of the government, right? It's just a function of the government. So if the government says we stand for Rainbow Coalition, the Church of England says we stand for Rainbow Coalition. If the government says we're, I don't know, like, that's basically the function of the Church of England, all the way back to Matthew Parker, if you ask me. And you, again, since I'm not a Christian, you can just say, well, AA doesn't know what he's talking about, but pretty much it's just the Via Media all the way down the line for the Church of England. And so the real question then is upstream from that, which is simply, does social liberalism and progressive causes harm Western soft power in the world, which includes British power, soft power, and also includes, even above that, American soft power? And the answer to that question is yes. Of course it does. Of course it does. You know, woke has been a disaster for the, and social liberalism in general, kind of progressive causes have been a bad advert for the West. And it's been a major propaganda win for the West's enemies, because the mullahs in Iran can just say, well, look, the old Ayatollah was right, wasn't he? And Putin and in Russia can just say, look, you can say what you want about me, but I'm not telling you to chop your dick off, am I? And the Chinese can just, like Winnie the Pooh can laugh his ass off, because he could say, look at those degenerate liberal Westerners over there. Aren't you happy that we haven't brought that shit here? And all of the countries in between who are looking east and west can say, do you know what? They got a point. Vlad and Xi and Grand Ayatollah Ali, they've got a point, haven't they? We don't want that shit here either. So, yeah, that's my elite theory answer to that question. It's just a bad doctrine, really. And it's made a mockery of so many Western institutions. Let's carry on. C123 says, I cannot wait what Horus has to say about this one on Deepest Law. Lol. This is on my interview with Haz, the Infrared, the chairman of the American Communist Party, which was, is China's Communist Party really socialist? C123 says, I cannot wait to see what Horus has to say about this one on Deepest Law. AA, please have Jackson Hinkle on soon. Would Jackson Hinkle talk to me? I'd talk to Jackson Hinkle. Why not? I mean, I find him a bit of a slop merchant, Hinkle, isn't he? Bit of a slop merchant, if you ask me. But I'd have him on. I'd have him on. Why not? Why not? Let's carry on. C123 says, also AA, on the same video, please have a look into having Steve Sue on. He is a physics professor and a commentator on tech, China, etc., who was semi-involved with the Trump team in his first term. Okay, all right, why not? Pox Americana says, hi AA, This is on last week's Office Hours, which was about the coup at the BBC, if you remember. "Hope you are well," says Box Americana. "I've heard you express praise for Glenn Greenwald recently, and I thought this info might be interesting. Media outlet The Intercept was co-founded by Glenn Greenwald. Shortly after its foundation, Greenwald gained the trust of whistleblower Edward Snowden. As far as I'm aware, Greenwald's old outlet is the only outlet that had 100% of the Snowden leaks. The Washington Post had only a portion. Information from the leaks was slowly drip-fed as articles on The Intercept. After only a small amount of leaks were revealed, The Intercept was shut down. The Intercept shut down its Snowden investigation. Greenwald cited funding issues as the cause. This had the effect of burying the Snowden leaks' most damaging revelations. It has been suggested that The Intercept was purposely set up as a trap to collect leaks and get rid of them. Perhaps Greenwald was an unwitting pawn, or perhaps his billionaire CIA-linked backer really ran out of money. Whitney Webb has been reporting on this situation for more detail. Thanks for all you do. The new book is great. Buy it now." That is some interesting info on Greenwald. I generally find Greenwald has been quite on the money recently. But my present hope, Pax Americana, is that all this stuff with Tucker that we're seeing at the moment is the CIA reigning in Israel. I actually, like a lot of people are like, "Oh, Tucker," I hope Tucker is CIA. Why do I hope that? Because if Tucker is CIA, one, he's untouchable and they won't be able to bring him down and they won't be able to cancel him. And two, it means that forces within the American deep state want to do in Zion. And I'm here for that. I'm here for that. Everything else can wait until that happens, in my opinion, because it is the number one barrier to any meaningful change happening anywhere. Until you get rid of people whose sole purpose is another country, you won't be able to get anywhere in your own country because they're taking up space, they're taking up bandwidth, they take up resources and media space and guest spots and talking points and so on and so forth because they're all fake. Everything else they say is fake. The only thing they care about is Israel. And if they're there occupying space in the Republican Party, occupying space in your wearing your populist movement like a skin suit, wearing your nationalism as a skin suit, wearing your socialism as a skin suit, wearing your political party as a skin suit for their agenda, it's a problem. They have to make way. They have to be done in. They have to, and everybody has to come together and say, "No, you lot. You've had your chips. Your goose is cooked. It's over, Shapiro. It's over, Douglas Murray. It's over, Mark Levin." So if Glenn Greenwald is also CIA, bring it on. I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. That's my view. Other people disagree, but they're wrong. They're short-sighted. They're rightoids. They are the one who are blinkered. They call me myopic. No, I have the big picture. I see everything. And I understand a battle that is winnable in the here and now. A battle that is necessary and that goes before all other battles. If you don't get that, press one. If you do get it, press two. Be aware that if you press one, you will be banned. All right, let's carry on. Tim Cornish says, so this is on Tucker Carlson and Nick Fuentes exposed the fake conservative grifters, blah, blah, blah. He says this series is spot on. Great multifaceted analysis. Well, thank you very much, Tim Cornish. That series has had great interest. A lot of people have watched it. Grateful to those people who have watched it. You know, it's kind of like how can I say, like, remember what I was saying at the start? Some videos I do are for the intelligentsia, and other videos I do are for the great unwashed. They're more public facing. And these ones on Fuentes and Tucker have been more of the outwards facing ones, like the one I did yesterday about how political parties gatekeep each other was more inward facing, right? And you can generally tell because there's about a 10 to 20K viewership difference in the outward facing ones, the inward facing ones. But I kind of know that because they're speaking to slightly different audiences, of course. But still, I've tried to do my best to get in some greatest hits, as well as some pro wrestling fun into those, into my tracking of that series. It's been a lot of fun, to be honest, to do that sort of stuff. And maybe after, I'll see how I feel when I come back after my break, but maybe I'll do, depending on where this feud goes, I might do more of it, you know. Dyslexic says, because it's not over yet, it's still ongoing, so we'll see. Dyslexic Jin says, read Kevin Rudd's On Xi Jinping, a large book written by a former Australian Prime Minister on the CCP and Mr. Jinping. This was a very random super chat because it's on the ancient video, Tony Blair's Hands of Power, which was a video that I made specifically because Millennial Woes requested it. He literally requested it. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll make it. Driz ID said, thanks on the Caleb Morpin interview on how Destiny and Hassan Piker killed real socialism. Brilliant. Super thanks. They're my favorite sort. If you just super thanks with thanks, you're like in the top, like 1% of super chats, in my opinion. Into Boom says, I like the idea of doing something, but why bother starting a business in a country that actively arrests and interrogates children for running a lemonade stand? There are too many ways of getting it catastrophically wrong. And then it was on the Scrump interview, why the British economy is on the brink of the disaster. I've noticed there's been a lot of the, my radio somehow has now got, remember it was stuck on LBC for months? It's somehow got onto Radio 4. And every time I've heard Radio 4, when it's come on in the car, they've been talking about how entrepreneurs and capitalists and so on need to be given the room to create growth, blah, blah, blah. So there's been a lot of this talk. And really, Scrump could have been one of those talking heads on Radio 4 in a way, because he was making the same point round the back door. Yeah, I mean, I had to pay a tax yesterday. It's another one of the that dampened my mood as well. Nothing will make you become like a Murray Rothbard ANCAP libertarian again than doing your taxes, especially if you work for yourself as I do. Jesus, I had to. I won't say the amount that I had to give, but when you see that amount of money leave your bank account, okay, and you know you're not getting it, it's just gone. You're just giving it to the government and you're not going to see any of it back. You don't get anything back at all. Oh, I'm telling you. It's, anyone who's done it, it's an indescribable feeling. It's just like, ugh. You know, ugh, it's gut punch. Anyway, I don't really care about money. You know, I'm not material in that way. So part of my, I'm also pretty good at being, at not being that affected by it as well. So, you know, what's it to me? Just numbers on a screen at the end of the day. Numbers on a screen. Hope you're happy, Keir Starmer. You can buy breakfasts for poor kids from Bangladesh all you want now. Without, I mean, I don't know how many breakfasts you'll buy. Thousands and thousands of breakfasts on me. Have it, Keir Starmer. Go on. Cancel Culture says, this £50 from Cancel Culture. on how Trump's return killed the intellectual dissident right. This was Todd Lewis's interview from last week. He says, this and Scrump were my favourites out of the set of four. Folly gave an interesting on-point dialogue on Schilling and Scrump on current economics. Bravo. I'll stump up another £50 if you produce another four bangers like these, or even just these again. Well, I'll bear that in mind, Cancel Culture. It does take some doing, setting up interviews and, you know, doing them back to back and back like that. So, you know, for a while it may be a one-off, but we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I kind of like the idea. Todd Lewis was keen on coming back, and we did one on Anthony Sutton and Stalin and USSR, which I came out this morning. But I kind of like the idea of just having these four, those four guests in particular, just come back on once in a while. I find all four of them quite interesting. And I mean, it had a more difficult topic than the others, I reckon. Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of having at least semi-regular check-ins with those guys in particular, because they come from unique perspectives. I mean, I find Maupin is an intense guy, and he's very well, you know, read, and he's into his thing. And I kind of like that. I kind of like his intensity, you know. Some people were moaning that I'd ask him a question and he just talked for 20 minutes straight. But I've been in interview situations myself, and I always feel like I'm just talking forever. So it's kind of, you know, he's got a lot to say, so let him say it. This is from C123, sir, on why I left the dissident right for the sensible centre-left. That was my reply to Dave. You see how busy I've been? It's incredible, isn't it, really? He says, AA and Bastani should have a Navarra show together where they try to find common ground while simultaneously enraging each other's rightoid and leftoid audiences. You could call it something like unpopular opinions. I think, well, I mean, Bastani regularly interacts on Twitter with me, you know, and likes my tweets and things, and I retweet him sometimes as well. If you know me on Twitter, I never like any posts, but I do retweet Bastani occasionally. I think that he's had a bit of a regress recently, though, because he's decided to get behind Polanski, and I think that Polanski seems very regime-coded to me, so I don't like his pushing of the green stuff. Maybe he feels he has to do that or something, but he was going in a very good direction, Bastani, and then he started shilling for Polanski, so not keen on that. Firestorm says, a grand left-right pro-civilization. Although I do think, I should say on Aaron, at his heart, he's a sensible chap. Comes across as way more sensible than most leftists. I'll give him that. Firestorm says, a grand synthesis of left, right, pro-civilization, anti-alienation, with respect for Anglo tradition, needs to emerge from this disgusting kabuki theater morass we are trapped within. Something vital, similar to an ethnogenesis, that reconciles that every position is a trade-off of good and bad, with the responsibility of committing to a positive vision, still tiger riding until then. Yeah, I like the basic idea. Let's face it, there is no, you can't indefinitely go on into the future with a divide as big as the left versus the right. Because all of those leftists, whether you like it or not, are your fellow countrymen and women. So there has to be a way. There has to be a way to bridge that divide. And if it's, look, we both just hate the Zionists, that's a good starting point. It's a good starting point. But it's more than that. And this is what Nick has been talking about. It's what I've been talking about. It's more than that. We're both discontent, right, with the neoliberal consensus that has been ravaging our country since the 1980s. We are all discontent with the lot that we've been given by these, by the current political settlement. We're not happy. So you need to get the left to see that most of the so-called right are the same disgruntled workers' movement that were shit on by Thatcher and Reagan years ago. So the left need to stop hating on Whitey. They need to stop being for mass immigration. And they need to, start talking, getting serious about economics again. Some of those things are happening, right? Some of those things are happening. Maybe not enough, but they're starting to happen. And on the right, it's obvious that people need to leave behind free market worship. And they also need to start to recognize that the culture war, woke and anti-woke, was a psyop. It was a fudge. It was to get you to like Ben Shapiro. Right? Daily Wire launched that appalling cartoon or something. They started making their own shows. Hideous stuff. And it was all culture war slop. Culture war slop is the siren song to get you to support Zion. That's why Graham Linehan, J.K. Rowling, and Jordan Peterson, and all these people ended up all being Zio shills, even though they made their name on the trans issue. Because it was always slop, concealing some other agenda. Eventually, enough of you will get that memo. But you're slow. People are slow. Take time to catch up. But I have to say, the world keeps on surprising me by catching up a lot faster than I give it credit for. Back in the day, the lag used to be like 6 months, a year, 2 years. Now it's a matter of weeks. The conclusions the stuff I was saying a month ago, and now everybody's saying it. So, well, I say everybody, a lot of people are saying these same sorts of things. So I'm actually a little bit more optimistic about current developments than I have been in the past. Sin Difference says, cracking promo. This was on Candice Owens' text, Ben Shapiro. The Candice Owens text, which exposed Ben Shapiro as a manipulative weasel at Daily Wire. Yeah. I get a bit fired. The thing is, if you know how I do these things, I recorded them all in the same day. And that Candice Owens one was, I think, the last one. And I was worked. I would work myself up to into a shoot, brother. By that point, I was fired up on the Candice Owens one. If you haven't seen them all, I noticed a lot of that one had lower views than some of the others. Maybe Candice Owens is less of a draw than some of the other names, but. Yeah, if you haven't seen that one, that's there's a bit of fire in there. Lamented Guide says, AA, with all due respect, sir, no matter what label you choose to wear, you were, are still, are more genuinely right-wing than any of these dissident right figures you correctly despise. Considering their radical stance changes over the years and the overall rejection of tradition in the Evolian sense, if anything, these people are the ones who have moved to the centre rather than you. Your perspective, despite what you think, does in fact come from a much older tradition than theirs. And that is the dividing line on what is and what is not genuinely right-wing. This reality reveals itself in your off-the-cuff remarks, as well as the figures you regularly reference, which has inspired me to begin to read in turn, and will continue to reveal itself going forward. Well, Lamented Guide, here's something else, though, if you read enough of these people that I reference, that you must understand. There is the exoteric truth of things and the esoteric truth of things, right? Remember, I said it was an IQ filter, so You can read into that comment what you wish. Ben Shapiro's conservatism is failing an entire generation. He says, run up your thermostat. So run up your thermostat says, at first I was skeptical to your conversion to the left. Now I'm right there with you. Oh, solidarity, comrade. The right without white identity politics is just J supremacy and boomer supremacy mixed with their resentment. I'd rather live in Eastern Bloc communism than Shapiro's America 10 times out of 10. Well, exactly. What was that old line? You know, the Soviets will break your bones, but the Americans will poison your soul. Grief Tourist simply says thanks on the same video. That's the best sort of super thanks, Grief Tourist. Thanks to you, sir. Dave Harris on the dark truth about Trump's plan for 50-year mortgages. There was a lot of plays for the Samuel L. Jackson thumbnail of that one. But he says, unrelated to the content of this video, it is worth looking into setting up. Is it worth looking into setting up a no BS labor movement? Focus on the concerns of workers in fields that have been devastated by the regime. I work in the trades, and some smart people who are capable of managing networks and conducting themselves respectfully that are unhappy with things as they are, but they merely grumble. I think they lack direction, and a pure pair side labor movement for skilled workers could be a good source of organization and securing influence. Well, I'm not going to tell anybody ever not to organize, Dave, okay? But watch my video from yesterday on how political parties gatekeep each other, right? That one. About 17 minutes into it, I go through how various special interests infiltrate organizations and how they turn them from being the thing that they were set up for to being for something else. The example I was talking about was Zionists, but it could be wokesters. It could be, you know, the SJWs in the past. It could be NATO shills. It doesn't really matter. The point is that when you set up an organization, you set up a target on your back for infiltration and subversion and turning the thing back against itself. So what I would recommend doing is studying that part of the video. I think it's about 17 minutes in. Just study that and devise a counter strategy for if and when that happens. Because if your workers' movement starts getting anywhere, you can bet your bottom dollar that you know who will come scraping at the door. And you have to be vigilant. And right, you have to be so vigilant against turning those white nodes into black nodes, because they will try to do it. Right. And you have to almost be, I mean, I've been doing these videos on Stalin. Stalin knew, right? He knew how to battle against people trying to take over his organization. And okay, he was ruthless and he was brutal, but he was, quote unquote, paranoid. But in a way, that's what you have to be. Because if you give it a little inch, the whole thing could come down. So for that reason, I would just say, if you do it, you have to be super vigilant against that prospect. Otherwise, you're setting up something that will be taken over by an enemy. Benjamin Church says, man, I came along to the new era after the end of the years of unpopular opinions with nary a complaint. Playing those intros may be super nostalgic. The one with truck ranked 2 was the best. Thanks a lot, Benjamin Church. It's all right to have a bit of nostalgia. Muffed it says, what's so interesting to me about this is the similarities between communist Chinese value system of that group in the Middle East. So this is on the Fuentes video from, 2 days ago. To the Chinese, the entire world is Chinese. They just don't know it yet. That's how they view the world. It's a very narrow way of thinking. You have to admit it's very effective for a long time. Yeah, they're just the thing about the Chinese, and I said this, they are at the center of their own universe. They are their own center. And if there's one thing you can say about the tribe, they are at the center of their own universe. Okay? And that's not a bad thing. If you could take anything from them, that would be a good thing, right? A lamented guide on the same video says, the thing is, I don't consider what Fuentes has said here to be centrist at all. Every point made are concerns that traditional and pre-liberal civilizations once held, and they are generally right-wing. If anything, what Shapiro and his ilk are advocating for is actually centrist, precisely because it is vehemently anti-traditional and erodes between the people and their communities. Cephalopodo says, this is an ancient video called A Brief Economic History of Wales. That video, by the way, my mother did not talk to me for a week after I put that video out years ago. She took it really hard. As a, you know, girl from a coal mining town that was devastated under Thatcher and so on, didn't talk to me for a week. And I've come to see she was probably right too. She was probably right as well. So if I regret anything, it was being a libertarian those years ago. But anyway, he says, Cephalopodo says, now you've gone from libertarian to centre-left, anti-capitalist. Do you plan on revisiting these old videos on economics with your new perspective? Yeah, well, one of the videos I want to make is that one of my mother's uncle, who was a miner for many, many years, he's the sort of miner who sees the cough that he still has as a mark of pride type thing. He gave me these two books on the history of coal mining in South Wales. One of the books was called The Fed. It's called The Fed. And it tells the story of the unions. I want to sit down and read that book that my great uncle gave me. And maybe I'll do a video on that. So I'll kind of do it in that sort of way, probably. Muffedit says, good morning. Fabulous video. And this is on the gatekeeping video that I did yesterday. The last idea you gave to me is interesting to write. You propose we change the system to work for us instead of the elite few. It strikes me that the temptation to maintain the system as is and only change the elite few is incalculably attractive. For all intents and purposes, the populace believes the system, as is, works for it. We have a meticulous technology infiltrated into all aspects of daily life, and the programs to support the weak, indefensible humans in the system. There's no attraction to reversing the system, so it appears not to work for these weaklings, but does work for the majority of capable men, who care for these as they may, as they, metaphorically speaking, would be the elite. To reverse the way of conducting our affairs as they currently stand is a task of monumental heroicism. My only consolation that this may be brought about is to use the system as it currently stands against itself. The system demands participation, therefore starve it of participation. It demands compliance, thus we are not compliant. When the money supplies are depleted, it will seek to gather more and more recruits to save itself from collapse. I must not provide it with any support, or at least no support that doesn't make it harder for the system to reassert itself. Again, a fabulous video. I clicked on the video skeptical, wondering what this was all about. Was not disappointed. Many thanks. That's a great super thanks, sir. Lots to think about there. This is on Capitalism Causes Immigration and Feminism from Captain America. He says, you're missing half the argument, which ties to elite theory. Capitalism support for mass immigration isn't just about cheap labour. It's about adding consumers and demand. Each person that migrates to X country represents more units sold for each corporation. Yes, I think I did mention this in the follow-up video. There was a dude who wrote a kind of response to this, like a video response, and then I responded to that. It's called Capitalism and Immigration, More Questions or something. And I talked about this point that you're talking about in that video. He says, more units sold means higher profits and stock goes up. They create more demand in housing markets, which raises prices and profit for landlords. And this is important. The corporations and the landlords don't care who pays the bill. Whether it's paid by the taxpayer, government benefits, or by the working person, doesn't matter. The Netherlands data went around the right on how much of a drain each migrant was based on ethnicity. The right saw this as some magic argument that could be used against mass migration. It's not. It's the exact reason why. Yeah, you're right there, Captain America. All of that was correct. And yeah, go and watch that follow-up video because I talk more about it there. On the Gatekeepers video, Maximus Aquila says, highly informative, AA. Could an organization resist hostile influences via vetting, paid memberships as opposed to a single patron, and high-level entry exams on topics such as elite theory, Western canon, British culture, history, etc.? Keep up the great work. The thing is that the more difficult you make it, the more attractive it becomes to infiltrators. And the more curious, you've got to understand human nature in a way. Secrecy drives curiosity, right? Scarcity increases value. So if something is secret and difficult to get into, it's going to arouse more and more curiosity. So, and therefore they'll try to infiltrate it. So there's no like, there's no magic bullet because they're going to try no matter what. And this has been like the great kill shot really for so many attempts to organize left or right. You know, the history of left-wing movements in America and Britain is a history of Fed accusations and blah, blah, blah. And the history of right-wing movements that aren't Labour or Conservative are also just filled with infiltrators and Fed accusations and so on and so forth, which is why they do it. So you're going to have to, like, these are not bad suggestions, but it's not going to stop them trying. And the trouble is that it only takes one determined individual or agent or something to wreck the whole thing, to compromise the whole thing. Monkey Shinesu says, how would you argue against common conservative meme argument that American race relations were perfect until Obama invented woke in the year 2012? Easily, Monkey Shin. I would throw copies of Thomas Sowell at them. I would throw this book I've got called America in Black and White at them. Yeah, it's just a nonsense argument. Absolutely nonsense. Show them my video, The American Delusion. There are so many easy arguments against that. Nothing to do with Obama. Utis 4321 says, so much wrong with this. I feel like I wasted an hour listening to bullshit. This was on the video this morning on the Anthony Sutton thesis, which Todd Lewis is keen on. The Gulf War victory had nothing to do with tech. The US commander of the 1st Cavalry Division said that directly. If we had their tanks and they had ours, we'd still have won. The Iraqi army was so poorly led that it was as if we went to a playground and beat up a toddler. UTIS 4321. Is that the right video? That was a video that we were talking about the USSR and bankers, you know, backing developments in the Soviet Union. Did we talk about Iraq? I don't know. Maybe he's got the wrong video there. Anyway, let us have a look at some super chats. Mr. Skinner says, is it feasible for Nick and Tucker to succeed in a partnership as two ends of an America First axis, one being race blind and the other race realist? Sure. Why not? The important part is that they're against the same enemy. they've got their eyes on the thing that really matters, which is the power positions in the organizations. Nick will soften on race. He's got many ways to soften on race, Nick has. Christianity is one, right? It's Catholicism, which has got a universalism and love for humanity built into it. The second thing he's got is America as an idea, as a nation, and the actual practical need for America as it exists today to pull together, which includes white people, black people, Hispanics, etc., etc. These are all just ready-made arguments for Tucker and Nick to pull on whenever they want. The third thing that he has to pull on is the fact that all of these other groups can also just be against Zion, be against Israel. So I would actually end up seeing Tucker and Nick not being fully fledged kind of race type nationalists. I think they'll end up being civic, right? But in a way, I don't really care about that as much. They were never going to be, become the goose-stepping Nazis that their enemies paint them as, one thing. And two, the thing is, the raw reality of America is that it's like 50% non-white. So if America is going to survive as a nation, they need to forge some new way of making it work. As a necessity, there's just no, like, unless the country balkanizes and then everybody goes their own separate ways, which is the old Jared Taylor scenario. I'm not going to say that he's going to become like a number one fan of ethnic minorities or something. I'm just saying that you've got to deal with the situation as it is, not as you wish it to be. And the situation as is that America has bad demographics. If you care about those sorts of things, in a way, that ship has flown. That there's just no way for America to go back to being 100% white or something like that. That's just not going to happen at this point. We're talking about getting rid of half the nation. It's just not going to happen. So America needs to figure out a new thing for itself, and invariably it will come. Like I said, realism. Mr. E.W. says, Lenin said, there are decades where nothing happens, and there are weeks where decades happen, and the end of 2025 certainly feels like this. Yeah, I saw today Trump has agreed to release the Epstein files. He signed the bill today. So that's a big thing. I also saw that Trump defended Tucker. And he defended Nick Fuentes. And Tucker defended Nick Fuentes. And maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's something to it. We'll see. We'll see. The situation's developing. Drongo has just said goblin raid and done a pile of that red face with a big nose. Ad Norhi says, great vids, AA. Incredible how in the UK we have to pretend nothing is going on in the USA regarding a certain country in the Middle East. MAGA AF split. I know, it really winds me up how there's this firewall. There's like a UK kayfabe and a US kayfabe. And in the UK kayfabe, we all have to pretend none of that stuff is happening. Well, I won't do it. I won't do it. All the other channels will, but not me. I will stubbornly follow what's happening over there as well. And I've noticed that people have been saying, I saw Pete North saying, British YouTubers watch too much American YouTube. That was code for stop talking about Israel. I see you, Pete North. No, I won't. Let's carry on. Base Feature says, I miss unpopular opinions. Do you or chat have any suggestions for similar weekly slop live streams? Slop, sir? How dare you call unpopular opinion slop? It was of the highest standards. Arch and Sargon's Stamford Bridge is the closest I can think of. I don't know of any shows that are like that, to be honest. Castle Culture has sent another £20 saying tar. Dengism, with Dengist characteristics, says Paul Cockshot published a new video reply to you about Altazor yesterday. Yeah, I watched that. I watched that. And, he's kind of doubled down on his view. I still don't quite think he has fully grasped what I've said, what I was trying to say. But, we'll just leave it there. He replied, though. That's a good thing. I noticed that some commies in his chat were saying, you can't trust it. You can't trust that academic agent. He's a fascist and all this sort of stuff. No, I'm not. Never have been. But it's good. It's good that he took the time to reply. And, he's an old guy. I respect the fact that he took the time to reply to my video. I'm learning a lot from Cockshot. I still don't really think that he understood the, like, he talks about political struggle, right, and beliefs. He hasn't quite grasped Altazor is getting at something much more total than belief. Much more total. Anyway, Gaz O says, can't believe the writer celebrating the based auntie's announcements. She's trying to decriminalize the illegals. And the right cheer her on. You're talking about Shabana Mahmood. Is that right? Mahmood. It's funny because when Mahmood was appointed, I wrote an article, or in one of my articles, I wrote, look, at the moment, all the sloppists are paying attention to the fact that Mahmood is a Muslim, and they're seeing it as a woke appointment. And I said, the truth is, Mahmood is a Blue Labour Blair type. And she is going to be tougher on immigration than anything that we've seen before. That's what I said. Or she's going to talk tough. She's going to do the David Blunkett thing, right? The David Blunkett thing is what she's doing. No, she's one step away from Blunkett being like, get out the machine guns, which is what Labour do when they feel like they're being threatened from the right. That's the Blair playbook, obviously. Will Mahmood actually be good? Will she actually do any of this stuff that she's talking about? The thing is, Labour are already better than the Tories were on legal immigration. And in terms of like actual tangible measures they've taken on the small boats as well, they're already objectively better than the Tories who created this mess. Labour were always going to be better than the Tories on this. Why? One, they don't fear using state power. Two, the machine works for Blair. Simple. Are they going to sort out the problem to the extent that we want them to? Absolutely not. Of course not. Of course they're not going to. Of course they aren't. So there's a pretty big gap between sorting out the problem as we would like it sorted out and simply just being better than the Tories. It's quite a big gap between those two things. But I honestly think that a lot of the dirty work will be done by Labour. And Nige, when he becomes the Prime Minister, which looks like it's going to happen, will probably just like claim the benefits of it, because the measures they're putting in now will drop numbers even more, and some of them may not even come out until after they've lost the next election. Ian Fletcher says, I fear that the left-right pact underestimates the woke youth. Well, one thing I would say is a certain amount of intolerance of wokes has to be part of the coalition. You know, when I talk to Caleb Maupin, he must be more aware than any. Like, you've got to be able to spot what they're like, okay? I can spot a Tory boy. I can spot a Zionist at 100 yards with laser precision. I know them. Spot a Tory boy, can spot a Zionist. You have to be able to spot a woke as well and make efforts to make sure that whatever is set up is done in your image, and then that is protected, and these other sorts of people are not allowed in. So, Dengist with Dengist characteristics says Adam Tooze's Substack is great on China. He argues that Western industrialization is a mere prelude to Chinese development. He notes 2010 to 2013, China poured more concrete than the US in the whole of the 20th century. Yeah, that is interesting. Some of the figures are just incredible. I mean, Tony Blair noted that China in a couple of years produced more CO2 emissions than the entire Industrial Revolution combined. When Blair said that Ed Miliband has to drop all the green shit, he brought out that stat. I was like, bloody hell, is that true? Apparently it is. So, Glover Picking Harp says, any thoughts on Fuentes America First Foundation and Shapiro's continual generational crash out? He's melting down about it. And the elite, can the elite allow this insurgent institutional node? Well, I saw a clip of Ben Shapiro and he was almost crying. It's like he was crying. Let Ben cry, I say. Your time is over, Benny. Your time is over. I'm peaking, Kevin. It's my time now. Yeah, let it happen. Let it happen. It's brilliant. Marcos says, when he used to do the Donbass war streams, Furious often referenced interesting books and sources to explain Russian doctrine and military theory. After these chats with Folly, it would be interesting to expand on these points. Well, when I'm back from my break, I will see if old Marcus is still out there, and maybe he can come on for an interview if he's out there. If you're listening, Marcus, get in touch. I do know that he had a bit of a real life situation that he had to deal with, and so had to go a bit underground for a while. But I haven't talked about Russia for a long time. Max Orostansky says, when the regime realizes that their current Zio pundits can't beat Nick, will they try to co-opt him? Well, if my theory is right about some part of the deep state actually being behind this, maybe it's already happened. But the point is, Max, who cares? Who cares? If the system is giving us Tucker and Nick, so what? That's good. That's actually good. So, yeah, I'm happy with that. Even if they do co-opt him, so what? What would be the most disappointing outcome would be if Nick just becomes part of the GOP again, right? That would just be... What he's doing is way more interesting and frame-breaking. No, he's doing the same. He's doing the same thing as me. Let's talk the leftists. Let's do the right-left coalition, maximally anti-Zio. This is all great. And Tucker's doing the same thing, talking to Anna Kasparian. This is the thing I'm excited about. You know, not saying, "Oh my God, Mamdani is a Muslim communist, and New York has fallen." Just rejecting their frame. Do nothing that helps them ever. This is the way to go. This is the way to go. Cringewalker says, you should do a video on East Germany, the only European country to reachieve sustainable fertility after World War II without immigration. Interesting. Yeah, maybe. I'd need to look into it more. $11 Cheese says, it might take another 10 years, but I think Schindler's List will eventually be viewed the way we view Reefer Madness today, as pure propaganda. Yeah, maybe that will happen. I mean, I've been seeing quite a lot of talk about that sort of thing recently on my timeline. Maybe. I mean, okay. I can't really talk about that on YouTube, $11 Cheese, but maybe. Okay, I think that is it in terms of super chats and super thanks. I forgot to turn on entropy today. I'm sorry about that, friend. Completely forgot about entropy. And the whole purpose of the stream is reading out super chats, and I forgot the entropy. Some people have the audacity to call me a grifter. Can you believe it? I forgot to turn on one of the sources of money. Doing this for love, friends. Doing it for the love. And for money. I need to get paid. Damn it. Show me the money! All right. Pick up a course at the academic agency and I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.